This is an Envoice Media podcast. You're listening to Just Fake It, Coming to LA podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Nora and Marina.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Just Fake It,
Coming to LA podcast. Here I am, Nora Salim, with Marina today.
Hello.
And we will be discussing film school in Los Angeles. Pretty classic, but we actually went through this. And that's how we ended up in LA.
Yeah, pretty crazy story.
I
brings
know.
All the memories, you know, from the film school.
All the flashbacks.
That's true.
Highs and lows, because we've had a lot of those.
No, yeah, it was definitely a wild experience that, like, even now when I think about it, like, did I really do it? Like, it sounds crazy. It sounds insane.
It does. And for lots of people, it sounds really cool. And for lots of people, it sounds like, oh, it's not a profession, because lots of people say, well, if you pay to study art, it's not. It's just a waste of money. There is also a stigma, but some people who also wanted to do it but never could think it's cool. So let us just to open a curtain to a real life in a real film school in Los Angeles, and then you'll find your truth. You know, Marina, I met you in film school in 2018.
Yeah,
and, you know, we kind of became friends right away, and I never really asked you how did you end up in LA in that particular, and why film?
Yeah, it's a crazy story, actually. Again, when I was little, I honestly actually never liked watching movies.
Oh my God.
It's like,
that's an interesting turn, to be honest.
It was never interesting to me, because I was like, oh, it's like, yeah, I don't want to spend my time sitting in front of the box. Like, I have things to do. I have places to be. Like, I'm a very active person, even though I was always creative, right? So I was like, I was participating in all the school concerts, all the like, all activities, everything. I was there.
Could you
right?
sing or dance?
I couldn't, but I still did that. I was dancing for a little bit, and like all the concerts, like it was great. But at some point, how I turned into film is one summer when I was studying back at in Ukraine University, I was studying Italian language. And basically one summer I went to Italy to kind of practice Italian, you know, to like get more fluent in it. And it wasn't interesting enough for me to just take the language classes. So I took this class. It was called Italian Through Film. And I remember that opened my mind. Like, actually making movies is actually fun.
So one day on set in Rome, studying Italian changed your direction of life.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Like, it wasn't even set. It was just a private class, right? I was taking with a teacher. He was a director, but he wasn't like anyone big or anything, right? But he showed it to me in a way that, like, it became so interesting. And my first movie I actually made in Rome. Not great. I mean, it's okay movie. It's a first movie, you know. It's my first baby, and that opened my mind. It's like the movies, they combine everything together, like all the art forms that I like painting, dancing, music, everything is combined in film if you think about it.
That is true, because every picture, like there are movies, mise-en-scene, right? The picture, it's pretty much a painting.
Yeah.
The way you show every scene. And for you personally, that was more important, because all the art you love, the final destination of all these art forms was in film for you.
Yeah, because like you can do the visual art, you can use the sound art, you can do all the like physical performance things, the lighting, the like everything. It was so interesting to me. And basically, when I came back home, I was like, Mom, listen, this is so cool. Like, I want to do this. This is it. I found
what,
it.
What did your parents say?
And my parents were like, well, okay.
Not really excited.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let's, let's finish the studies at Kyiv University. And after that, we'll think about it, right? Mm-hmm. So, but what we agreed is like next summer after that, they send me to Los Angeles. That was my first time. And I went to the film school that we later went together, but it was in 2015. And it was a short, like, six-week filmmaking course. Mm-hmm. And it was so great. It was so good. It blew my mind.
They sold it really well for you.
They really did.
Because everybody who went to short courses, so many people comes back for a real program later.
Yeah, so then I came back for my master's, basically. And I got my master's in filmmaking. And, you know, and like after that, I don't want to do anything else in my life. You know, that's it. I'm sold.
Love and hate relationship with film. Toxic relationship.
Toxic relationship.
That's the topic of our podcast today. Toxic relationship with film.
Anyway, so that's my kind of crazy story. But like I was never, it was never actually my goal or something I wanted all my life, you know. But it just happened. And I think that your destiny corrects you in a way where you find where you're supposed to be. And I don't know if it's like this for you, because I know you went to medical school first in Kazakhstan and then you ended up in Los Angeles somehow.
Yeah. Summarize what you said, guys. When you study Italian, be careful. Do not fall in love with film at the same time.
I mean,
Italian language and Italian culture is already in form of art.
No, but like you would think, like I studied Italian, you would think I'd end up in Italy. I didn't. Who would know? You know,
dang, I would probably end up in Italy. I would probably never leave. But it's funny because for me personally, I never really planned to come to America whatsoever. Dream. I mean, of course, everybody dreams, you know, but it's just a pipe dream.
Yeah.
It's like going to space. I always dream to go to space. Everybody who asked me from my childhood, what do you want to do? I wanted to be an astronaut. Seriously, dead serious. I even have the letters when I was little writing it. But who knows? Maybe one day, right?
Okay.
But yeah, as I said, I actually wanted to study in Europe more than America for some reason. Because, you know, in our countries, Europe is more popular than America.
America and seems unreal. It's just like somewhere
America just seems too far. Yeah. Just like Australia for me. I've never been to Australia, never but it been. Seems too far.
Anyway.
But Europe is reachable. You know, all your friends go there and it seems safe. Anyway, yes, I went to medical school. But the whole story started way earlier, if you have the time for me to listen. So I remember when I was 4 years old, I saw this like concert on TV. And you know, the television was like old back then. It wasn't thin.
Yeah,
it was like this box, like this box. And it was wooden box in a way even.
Yeah.
And then I saw this performances and I don't know why, from where, because I have no artists in my family. Mm-hmm. My mom is a doctor.
Yeah.
So I have no artists and I just love to dress up and give performances, you know, memorize all these poems. Out of nowhere. I don't even know where it's coming from. And then I saw this show on television and I'm like, Dad, I want to go inside and dance with them. Genuinely. I literally thought I can get in back on, like, get
in the box.
In the box.
In the box.
So I walked towards the television and, you know, back then the whole back was open. It was electricity out there. So I walk and I tried to put my hand behind this television and, you know, I had this like little injury.
Oh no.
Yeah, the electrical shocks. Yes. I was like, dang, I still want to go inside, you know, but obviously I realized it's impossible. But I didn't understand when I was four how this thing works, how we see this people right now in this box, but they're not here.
Okay.
So it was fascinating me from the age of four. And then growing up, of course, I was in all these performances. I had this great ability to memorize large amounts of text. And apparently when I was on stage, you know, my knees were shaking, but I enjoyed it so much, you know, getting into characters, dressing up, all this. And I remember in school, I was always bored. The word bored, I'm bored, was everyday thing for me because I'm from a small village and my parents were like, oh, here we go, and she's bored. That's why I started creating lots of like plays and performances in school. So every month we had something. So every month, it was never just school for me. It was rehearsals after school. That's what excited me. That's what how we made friends. And then we rehearsed and then we were supposed to, you know, perform. And I remember everything, every performance we did our costumes and I remember making friends out of it. So it was fun. Mm-hmm. It was really fun. And it opened lots of doors for me because I became from an introvert. Mm-hmm. I became more extroverted. I started, you know, speaking out my mind. And especially when you go on stage from the early age, it's way easier for you to navigate later. And, obviously, when I was 16, I didn't know English. So but I always knew that I want to get my master's or my bachelor's somewhere else because I always knew that there is a bigger world out there besides my village. And I didn't travel when I was little, just FYI.
So you've never been anywhere before?
No.
Abroad? Okay.
Like not far abroad.
Yeah.
So I remember at the age of 16, I heard that Peace Corps volunteers from America are volunteering in my city and they're also teaching English for free. So I remember I took two buses, hour and a half one way, winter, summer, it doesn't matter. God. I used to go twice a week, meet them, do volunteer projects. And honestly, they opened up a new world for me.
Okay.
Because I started learning English from them, the way they speak. And then I started picking it up, and then I became a volunteer. And then with the Peace Corps volunteers, first time I organized my own charity event when I was 18.
Nice. What was the charity
event? So charity event was pretty much just a fun night, like a dinner with performances. Oh, okay. And we were gathering money for orphanage.
Nice.
And that's how I ended up being a volunteer for like almost 6 to 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember through Peace Corps volunteers, I found out about this education center where they also volunteer and teach people English. But this education center was helping teens and the graduates to apply for different universities in the world.
Okay.
And when I came here, and, you know, I'm a village girl and all these guys, like all the children there are already like, yeah, we're going to like London and there and here, yeah. France, Paris, like whatever they're going, Singapore to study. Right. They already set everything up. And for me, it was like, what? What is going on? I walked in there for a class and I see all those pamphlets and books from different universities, you know, for advertising.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see this like red and black letters and it says film school and I see acting.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I always wanted to be on camera. Okay. I could never do it, but yeah, I always wanted. And I was 17, dead serious. That's why I always talk about manifestation and dreaming because it's important. I picked this up and I see New York Film Academy, acting classes, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Los Angeles, New York, Miami. I thought New York is my city.
Okay.
I was
so
like,
you wanted to end up in New York?
I always wanted to end up in New York. And then I looked at it, I was like, God. I kind of even closed my eyes like, God, imagine if one day,
yeah,
I'll be there. But it seemed absolutely surreal.
I understand.
I was 17. Like, that's absolutely surreal. I can't take it to my mom. I think I even stole one pamphlet and saved it in my bag. I think that's what happened. And then obviously I go to medical school, blah, blah, blah. And during the medical school, you know, that's why I always say you can never see your future based on one decision because everything kind of aligns at the end. I'm not sure if everything aligned even now, but it's wild. It's wild because I went to medical school.
Uh-huh.
And I was a tomboy in high school. I was wearing glasses. I had like short hair. I was a tomboy. Mm-hmm. Didn't really wear high heels. And my first 2 months in university, when I was 17, I got recruited to be a model and go to Miss University beauty pageant.
Nice.
And I was like, you know what? Let me try. It's not really my thing, but let me try.
Okay.
You got to be open. You got to be open to experiences. So I remember borrowing high heels from my dorm roommate and then walking at nights in my dormitory, in my dorm to learn.
I didn't know how to.
Oh,
you didn't even know how to walk on high heels?
No, I didn't. Wow. So it took me 2 weeks.
That's crazy.
And then I won Miss University. Okay. I remember that the shoes were bigger than my feet. So I used to put like some fabrics in there. And I remember on stage and the moment I turn around and make, you know, my poses, I turn around, this whole thing just comes out on stage. Everybody starts laughing. I know it's such a cringe, but at the same time it was fun. And I won.
Yeah.
Who cares? I won. And I remember I was doing the dance, Katna Joe, Radio Camper, Radio the cowboy dance. That was my talent performance.
It was your talent show.
It was my talent show because I didn't know. I don't know how to sing.
Okay,
it's like dancing was easier.
Okay.
And I won, and then I went to bigger contests, and I went to Miss Kazakhstan Universe, and it's a big deal.
Okay,
yeah, it's like Miss USA.
Yeah.
So I went there, and I got really huge recognition. I come back, and I was invited to different, you know, interviews on television. And I'm still in medical school.
Yeah,
but I'm wearing this crown and a stash, and I'm sitting there, you know. What? Oh, it's a new Nora now. It's not a tomboy Nora. It's like the chick Nora, like the beauty pageant winner.
Do you still have the crown?
I still have the crown back home. I think I still, because I had few, because I had did so many beauty contests.
Oh,
I
had few crowns.
Yeah, I had few stashes. Uh-huh, uh-huh. But yes, that's what happened. And then invited me to TV for the interview on television. And we were just talking about plastic surgery and like beauty stuff. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the show, producer comes up to me and she was like, Nora, first time we're seeing a girl in a crown who can actually speak.
That's so great.
Literally, word by word, I'm telling you this.
Okay.
And she said, would you like to work for us as a host on the show? I was like, what? I've been dreaming about it for years and now it's just like falls in my lap.
Yeah.
But I had finals in my medical school. And I was like, let me think about it.
Oh my God, literally, you said you're going to think about it.
Yeah, I said, literally, let me think about it. So I'm doing my exams. And then a few months later, they call me again. They're like, Nora.
Yeah.
So you want to do a screen test? And you know, I was like, let's do it.
Finally, she said, yes, finally.
Yes. So I did two screen tests. I went live.
Yeah.
And I became a television host. And that helped me
okay.
to get a scholarship to come to LA.
Okay.
So pretty much while I was working as a television host, I applied for this film school, New York Film Academy. Yeah. I never left the dreams. And we're talking about like 4 or 5 years difference between the first time I saw this. And when I was 22, 5 years later, I applied for the film school. I did all the material and I got in.
That's crazy.
I got in. I was like, wow, I got in, but I don't have money. Because it's a private school, it's in LA, it costs lots of money.
So you applied anyway, even though you didn't know?
I applied anyway. Okay. I just wanted to know if I can get in. I wanted to see my powers, and I did. Okay. And that gave me even more confidence to do more.
Okay.
So I was still working on television. I didn't know how to like get the money for it. And then a couple of years later, I applied for the scholarship. We have a governmental program in my country, in Kazakhstan. We have this program where you can choose any university if you meet the criteria and if you pass all the tests and surpass other students, they will finance everything for you.
Nice.
So I also, when I was 17, I didn't know I can ever get this scholarship.
So you didn't even know it existed?
I didn't know it existed, but it, like, I felt like everybody who's getting the scholarship were the smartest kids. Like, in country, and they are, there's like astrophysicists, you know, like doctors, like all that, and I'm applying to be an actress, like literally get an acting degree for this scholarship. People are being sent to Harvard for like biosciences, and I'm acting, and I'm saying like, send me to LA, right?
Yeah.
So I have this acceptance letter. I have everything. There's like three stages. I pass all the interviews. I pass all the tests. There's like tests for psychological tests, history tests, like language tests, everything.
Wow.
And then the last step was you meet with the Ministry of Education. There's like 20 people at this table, round table.
You and you're sitting,
yes, you have to. It's the last round.
What?
So I sit there in a chair and I know, I feel like they're not going to give it to me. There is no way. I'm a doctor in my first degree. I did my television work and now I'm applying for acting. They're not going to give it. And back then I already had life set up in the capital. I worked on television. I had a career. Why would I go anywhere? I left those dreams, but I was like, but let me try.
Okay.
Why not? I was having fun with this. I was not stressing about the scholarship. I just have fun.
Okay.
And I remember I wear this like leather short skirt, red jacket, and like kind of a top, you know, full makeup on, you know, this Miss Kazakhstan girl comes in to the, and, you know, it's the Ministry of Education, it's like the big people, and everybody's like gray suits, you know, everybody.
Yeah, like super serious.
And everybody's so like, everybody outside this door, there's a line, you know, students, prospective students.
Okay.
And they're like learning something, reading something. And I just like,
hello.
What's up, guys? What's up? And I literally, it was my work. So I came there for lunch break for this interview.
Wow.
I was like, what's up? So my time comes in and I sit. So the way I sat, I think, was a deal breaker. So it's, imagine there's like a big table, there's ministry people and everybody sits like this. Okay. In front of them. They literally just kind of like,
yeah, well,
do whatever you want with me.
Right?
Yeah, they're intimidated. Yeah. And they're, okay, ask me questions. I'm going to prove why I have to go out of thousands of students. That's what you have to prove. Why you?
Okay.
Why me?
Okay.
So I walk inside. I just sit like that to the chair. I think, and they're like, okay. I'm like, hi, you know? And they ask me why do you deserve this scholarship? You want to study acting, but you had a scholarship just to become a doctor. How can we believe you that you're actually thriving to do this? Why would we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on you? And instead of answering this question, I asked them, do you watch our television? And they're like, I'm like, what channels do you watch?
Okay.
And they listed all the Russian channels or like other channels,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't list a single one, which is in Kazakhstan.
Mm-hmm.
And I just replied, well, now you're asking me why I need to go? Because everybody need to watch our television. And I got to come back and make sure everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they would never give me a scholarship because it was really bold.
Okay.
But they did.
But it is what sold you. Yeah.
They did. Yeah. I didn't know. I was walking outside. I was thinking, I failed, whatever. And then 2 weeks later, my friends calling me, they're like, Nora, have you seen? Like, you got a scholarship. Mm-hmm. And it's insane to get the scholarship, I'm just saying.
So it is hard. There's a lot of people, big competition.
It is a lot of people, big competition. Okay. And plus, you know, it's a lot of money. They pay for everything, for airfare, for everything. And to get the scholarship, it's a one-of-a-lifetime opportunity, really. And none of the countries really in the world except us and United Arab Emirates have the kind of program like we have.
Yeah.
It's not the student loan, it's actual scholarship. And then And then they told me like I won, and I was like, nah, I'm not going. I literally said, nah, I'm not going. I said, I have a job, like whatever. And then I don't want to like, and then my mom was like calling me. She's like, just go. It's like 2 years, you know, go to America, New York. You're going to have fun. You know, they're paying for everything. Come back and continue your career. What's the problem? Mm-hmm. I was like, fine. Let me think about it. So while I was thinking and getting extensions, the school started at the end of January.
Okay.
And they call me. I think February 13th, they're like, Nora, your school started like 3 weeks ago.
Where are you?
Are you going to go? Because if you don't, you're going to never get the scholarship back again, ever again. We're not going to give it to you. And then my mom was like, listen, just go. I was like, okay. And they're like, oh, no, you have to be there this Friday. And it's Monday. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm working. I don't know. What are you talking about? How I'm going to go to New York right now? Yeah. Like right now, this week. They're like, sorry, you got to go. So I extended till next Monday. I don't even have American visa. My visa was ready overnight.
American visa ready overnight?
No one ever had that before. Let me tell you, just for immigrants who ever received American visas, expedited. Mine was like the beat all the records. So I'm sitting on Wednesday and I'm texting with my, the girl who was supposed to help me with, you know, the whole program. And she was like, oh my God, you got to leave like this week. You need a visa. I'm like, I don't have a visa. How am I supposed to leave? I'm still at work. I literally have a boss and everything. And she was like, okay, let me write the embassy that this is urgent.
Okay.
And this program is really, really established. So all the embassies know about it.
So they know about it. Okay.
So she literally sent them email on Wednesday. And I thought maybe they'll get back to me on Friday or I don't know, next week, something.
Yeah.
But in the morning, 8 a.m., embassy calls. Nora, 9 a.m., you have an appointment. I was like, what?
But I have work.
Overnight. And I'm like, I don't even have pictures to bring to the embassy. So, oh my God, it was snowing. It was like winter. I take the taxi. I'm like, bro, I need to go to the Trade Center, find where I can print my pictures. And then we got to go to embassy, but we got to make it in like 30 minutes. He was like, what? I'll pay you. So we go to one Trade Center. There was no printer. They're not open. Right. I go to another one. We do it somehow. I print the pictures and then I just grab everything. And I remember he drops me behind the embassy and I in the snow like this, literally, I run in the snow trying to make it to my appointment with these two pictures, like in my work. My boss is calling me, like, where are you, you know? And I get to the appointment and they give me a visa, like I told you, overnight. And then I receive my passport back like in a day. And then I buy a ticket for Saturday night. I'm still working on Saturday during the day. I get a ticket for Saturday night, leave my apartment, everything, take off my winter coat, give it to mom at the airport, and I leave.
Wow.
That happened in 5 days. And I'm not talking about even like signing all the contracts because my mom had to like fly back and forth like two times. It's insane. So many. Okay. And I remember it was 5 stressful days.
So it was like a big risk for you.
And I told my mom, like at some point I wanted to give up because one governmental thing didn't work. We couldn't get the papers back. Like there was some papers we had to provide. And I was like, mom, I think university is telling us not to go. She's like, are you going to just give up like that? She gave me this like, this motivation. I was like, who are you? Are you my daughter? Are you a giving up person? Or you're going to actually finish this? I'm like, whoa, whoa, mom. Okay, fine. I just wanted to make it easier for you. Like she's like, no. You gotta go. I was like, okay, fine. I'm gonna go.
Okay, fine.
So you know the attitude I have. Yeah, I didn't care. Yeah, I just was playing, having fun, trying to see what's up. And then I leave on Saturday. Originally, I thought I'm going to New York. Then that week, I found out it's not New York. It's LA.
Did you get upset?
I did. Big time. I did not want to come to, I wanted to go to New York. I'm like, I love New York vibe. You know, I wanted to go to New York, be this like girly on a train in her headphones and kind of like, yo.
Okay.
Leave the New York life. But I went to LA and I didn't have any money. My car, like it was so quick because they didn't even have time to transfer any money on my account. So I remember it's a couple of $100. Nobody. No, I know school is already started a month ago and I'm thinking I'm going to fail because I don't know anything. And my English is like 40% of what I know now.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Not perfect now, but it was 40%. Yeah. And I'm going to study acting, master's degree, which is like very worldly heavy program.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to speak.
And I remember I land and the first thing I remember in LA, it's out of this window. Mm-hmm. It's how bright and sunny it is. Oh, yeah. It's almost hurt my eyes. And then I, you know, my school was in Burbank. So first time when I saw all this like grass, palms, trees, all this greenery, it was very, very unusual because I came from winter.
Yeah.
It was very unusual. And I remember I had like a small suitcase. I didn't even have any summer clothes, like any clothes, so whatsoever. Okay. And I slept on this air mattress. Luckily I had like one person I knew through Facebook that I said, listen, I'm landing that time in LAX. Can you please meet me? Can I just crash in your couch?
Until like, I figure things out.
Yeah, until I figure out, because my school is starting. He was so nice. Well, first of all, I gotta tell you that I knew him before because it's a long story. Anyway, so I land and I didn't know if he's gonna meet me or not because we weren't really close friends.
Okay.
And then he and his girlfriend met me at the airport. They're like, Nora, I'm like, whoa. You know, I was so happy because I didn't know what I'm gonna do. Somebody's meeting me. So we drive to his place and I sleep on this air mattress near next to the door. And I think I spent my first 4 months in LA like that.
Okay.
And I was taking two trains from Culver City to Universal Studios. Trains.
So you were taking the public transport?
Which is an hour and a half public, because of what I was supposed to do. First, I was taking Ubers, but it was expensive. Then I started taking public transportation. From there, I took another Uber from Universal Studios to Burbank. So that's how I was getting to school for like first semester. Everybody was like, why don't you just move here? I'm like, no, I'm fine. I just live there. You know? But that helped me because I learned English so much with a native speaker. I literally cut myself off from like my Russian, whatever, native speaking people. I literally wanted to learn English. So I was just hanging out with Americans.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then my classmates were also, none of them spoke any of my languages.
Okay.
In acting department.
Yeah.
They accepted people who speak really good English because it's international school, obviously. 80% of the school is international.
Yeah, all my classmates were international.
But for example, in directing department, there are lots of students from China, let's say, right? And their English is not perfect. So they barely could get into acting school. So they went to directing, producing, whatsoever. So for us, it was a competition in a way. There was nobody who speaks my language.
Yeah.
And it was a challenge because I was late for a month. And then I remember when I first started my lections in school, I didn't understand half of what my teacher was saying.
Yeah.
And you know, the finals were close because it was already a month. So yeah, the whole thing, how I came to LA and how I ended up in the school, how I ended up being an actor, like the whole thing is just out of any logical like line. It's just whatever happened. And everybody is asking me, how can you change things so quickly in your life? I'm like, I did not force anything. It just, everything what came, I was open and accepted, which I thought I needed to accept. And where I didn't want to accept, they're like my parents. My mom was very persuasive about it. But originally, none of my family wanted me to be in art. And they said that I'm wasting the scholarship because I could have studied medical thing and just get a job and be successful in any other field. And then I wasted the scholarship to study art. And I hear that a lot because everybody even was laughing at my work. I remember, oh, what? You were going to study acting? What? And it's something you face, especially back home, because they don't really treat it, back then especially, seriously. Yeah. Now, of course, the industries are growing.
Still. I remember the same. I was leaving university. Like, I finished my bachelor's and I remember teachers were asking, oh, who's like going to do the master's? And they're asking me, are you staying for the master's? And I'm like, no. And they're like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I'm going to study film. And they're like, what?
Yeah. Because when I graduated from medical school, I was offered two positions. I was offered to be a teacher in the medical university when I was studying. And then I go to do master's degree. And I was offered like to be a doctor in another hospital. And then I just didn't accept any of it. I was just trying to get by. I just felt like that's something more out there. There's something more out there. Honestly, I'll tell you one thing. In my system of belief and the mottos, I would say, I always ask myself, how far can I get?
Okay.
Let me try. Let me see. And it's exhausting sometimes. But at the same time, like life is not a one level thing. It's all about either you go down or you go up or you fluctuate or elevate. So I did go down. I did go up. There was like lows, deep lows in the last 6 years. There was like super up highs, you know. So you never know. I just, at this point of my life, I realized everything what happened to me, it's because I tried. So for me, the pain of regret is worse than the pain of making a mistake.
Okay.
So I said, I'd rather do it than not do it.
Yeah, try it.
I just thought, what if when I'm dying, I would ask myself, what if I actually took a risk and went to America?
Yeah.
And I was like, then decision is made.
Okay.
I'm going. And I'm not giving this as an advice to everybody to act like mm-hmm. this, because yeah. lots of people say it's wild and crazy. I would still prefer to plan things. Mm-hmm. But it's just me, not me. I never really plan things. It's just how it goes, right? Out of fashion.
On pure improvisation.
Pure improvisation, yep. Okay. Yep, true actors.
Okay, but tell me, like, I remember because even when I just landed in Los Angeles, right? And you go there and I came here a little bit before school, right?
You had
time. I planned things. But anyway, and then it was just like, it was so crazy. Like, again, it wasn't like my first time in Los Angeles because I did that before. But when I came for school and, the first thing I did, obviously, I went to the Hollywood Boulevard. Like, of course, like, where do you go? You land in Los Angeles, you go to Hollywood Boulevard. And I remember the first thing, like, I exit, I think I took bus at that point of time, right? I exit the Hollywood and I'm like, so this is it. And then someone, like, right in front of me throws up right on the... Right on the,
oh my God.
The star or something. And I'm like...
Whose star was that?
I didn't look.
So you're like, this was it. And then this is it.
Yeah. And I was like, well, not what I exactly expected. But, you know, I'm still staying on more positive side of things.
And the smell still of the vomit on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely a downer. But still, you know, it still was so fascinating for me. And still, till this exact moment, I love Hollywood. I love hanging out in Hollywood. Even though it's dirty, it's, you know, not perfect, but... It's just the feeling that I am from Ukraine in Hollywood. It just makes me like go crazy and wild. So just like, I love going to the boulevard and to bars there and stuff. But I was curious, what did you do the first thing when you arrived?
So there was a girl from East Kazakhstan mm-hmm. here already. She was living in LA mm-hmm. back then, which I didn't know again. Okay. And I kind of was through Instagram. We found out and she found out that I landed.
Okay.
Because I posted, yeah. I landed, you know. And she was like, I'm going to come by. Where are you at? Mm-hmm. So she came by and she took me to the same day
yeah.
when I landed. She took me to Santa Monica Pier, another nice. Touristic spot. Yes.
Nice. But it's such a great spot.
Yeah. And I think she took me to Santa Monica Pier and then she took me to a club. I think that the club was one of the places I've seen in LA. It was One-Eyed Club.
Wow.
Yes. And she was like, yeah, so this, you know, life in LA. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, she was early 20s, two yeah. girls, you know, both like kind of model-looking girls, like just going.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And she just showed me that. And then my friend, my roommate showed me the Hollywood Boulevard later. Mm-hmm. I think a few days later. And then we just, you know, had some beers and had some burgers, in and out.
But did you have that feeling that like you're in a movie? Because I had that, like, I was like, this is real.
Honestly, I was so jet lagged and I had to go to school every day at 8 a.m. and I was falling asleep in class. And I was trying to figure out, do I understand everybody right or no? So I was so consumed with that.
Okay.
I think I started to have a feeling I'm in LA actually when I started going out, you know?
Okay.
Like when I first, like, I saw all these like parties and the beautiful houses and yeah. hills. I was like, oh, well, that's LA.
Oh.
That's LA. Because
now we're talking.
My first semester, I lived in Culver City around the, like, near the public transportation, the rails, yeah. you know? So I was like, is this LA? Sucks, yeah. man. Sucks. You know, it doesn't look good. Like, and I was taking public transportation. So it was like all these crazy yeah. people there, you know, dancing, trying to take your money. So my experience in LA was a bit different first. But then, you know, once you found out what's going mm. on, you choose what you eat, you choose what, because in the beginning I didn't even know what to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know the pounds. Why pound is LB?
I don't know. I still don't know.
I was like, well, we use kilos, kilogram, but this yeah. is pound. 1 pound is like a half of a kilogram. But what is LB?
I don't know.
Or like ounces. Okay. OZ kind of makes sense. Or why my height is in feet and not centimeters and meters. So I never understood the weather. I still do. I Fahrenheit, still Celsius. I have to calculate everything yeah. in my mind every single time. Well, I learned because of the modeling, what are my sizes in feet and okay. inches and everything. But I still struggle with like the weather and I still struggle with pounds. I mean,
no,
pounds are okay.
Like, when I weight myself, I don't want to see the three numbers on my scale. Like, what is, like, I don't want to see that.
I swear. Yes, that's so that crazy. Was a big shock. And the way I spoke, because I studied more in school, I studied more British English.
Yeah.
And then American language was a bit different. So the words like, okay. oh, dinner, they don't have supper. For them, dinner is yeah. dinner. but it, in British English is supper.
Yeah.
And they have lunch. Or like the just different
afternoon things. Tea.
Yeah, it's very different. So I came with more of a European mindset,
okay,
of a language. And then when I landed here, I was just culturally shocked in every aspect mm-hmm. possible.
Okay.
And remember I told you when I came to class, like dressed up and everybody just called me. Okay, so the girl who was a tomboy in high school became a beauty contest pageant winner mm-hmm. in Kazakhstan and television host. Mm-hmm. And then she comes to LA and my classmates were like, oh, you're like princess, you're so glamorous, because I always dress up like I used to dress up back home, because you know we in our countries we dress up,
it's culture, it's just like you can't leave the house not dressed up or like without makeup and like on sweats,
you gotta look good. Yes,
you don't even wear sweats like
besides home.
Yeah.
Yoga pants never.
No,
you just always wear, even sneakers are not that common.
Yeah.
Here, I started wearing sneakers all the time.
Yeah, more than
so
there.
I walked into the class and I see everybody just laying on the floor, eating their salad, pretty laid back, pretty like... And for me, laying on the floor, it's just... What?
Yeah.
It's dirty.
Why are you on the floor? I know, I remember
everybody
that
step
too,
on this. Like... But yeah, and then, you know, I started talking to everybody. They found it fascinating where I'm from. But the first thing they said... When I walked into the class, and I was late for a month, so they didn't even expect that somebody's coming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They thought the class, and they've been together, all these 10 people, for 4 weeks now.
Yeah, so they
and I'm
kind
the
of
newbie girly coming in, obviously. Uh-huh. This new girl kind of in American school, you know. I kind of felt like in a movie, to be honest.
Right?
Yeah.
I told you.
I was like,
you
new
do
girl.
Feel like in a movie.
Mm-hmm. And I walk inside and I'm like, hi, my name is Nora. I'm from Kazakhstan. And somebody started just cracking up, just not even saying hi. They're like, okay. Oh my God, Nora, it's like Borat from Kazakhstan. I was just in awe. I was like, is this the master's degree? Is that the same class?
Place?
Are you sure I'm in the right place? Yeah. But, you know, teacher was like, Yo, guys, like, relax. Mm. This is Nora. She was late for a month, but she's going to be with you guys now. So, yeah, it was very international. Okay. We had, you know, classmates from Germany, from South Africa. Mm. And most of them were actually from California.
Oh, like originally?
Some from Arizona, but Americans.
Okay.
And I had a cool classmate who was a Marine. So I was the youngest in the class, apparently.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, which was also surprising. I was like 24. Yeah. Five, and then I was the youngest. But anyway, it was interesting experience. And then, you know, we went to shoot in Universal Studios, the Desperate Housewives thing.
Too,
yes, and it really was fascinating. And slowly and surely, I just started relaxing and learning.
Okay.
And I just fell in love with the whole craft, even though I didn't understand in the beginning. In the beginning, you know what happened? I remember on the relaxation classes in acting, you know, in scene study class, everybody's relaxing. Somebody's crying. But it's every class. It's two times a week. And one day I'm just sitting there and my teacher is like, Nora, like, what's going on? I'm like, why, teacher, why, professor, why everyone is crying?
Yeah.
Every single time. Like, you can relax without crying. Well, what is going on? For me, the culture I grew up in, we never show emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we never really tell about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We just like, we put the mask, we fake it.
Okay.
We fake it every day in our lives. Here, everybody was opening up about some craziest stuff in their life, which I would never tell anybody.
Okay.
But they were opening up. They were extremely open.
Okay.
Too much for me.
Do you think they were seeking attention more than...
Well, first of all, actors, you got to realize, like, you don't go to acting just because you love the craft. It's always, you know, combined with lots of traumas, because you know actors have to show, not just have to show, they have to live those emotions, but to even be able to live those emotions you have to have life experiences, good and bad. Child actress is a different story, but like, what is method acting? You like to watch deep acting, right? Where you can just live the role with them, the part, and usually it comes from not just the craft itself, but also from personal experience, because you have to get it somewhere within.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Also, every artist, I feel like it's
personal.
It's very personal, and it's always it's a little bit painful, but it is what it is.
And then when everybody was crying, and I asked my teacher, he was like, "Nora, it's because you are insensitive, tough, Russian woman." Instead of a woman, he actually said another word, but I cannot say it yet.
Okay.
And I was just like, "What?" Did he just say
How
that? My professor?
You? Okay.
But he said that. And you know what I loved about our our teaching and acting class, it was never about, oh, you're so great. No. If I wasn't great, they would say so. And my teachers were pretty straightforward because they said, if you cannot survive this comment in school, you're not gonna survive in the industry in real life.
Yeah.
Because real life is way, way tougher. And they've been telling us this from the day one. If you think you're gonna succeed right away, guys, relax. You gotta make sure that you have a thick skin for no's.
Yeah.
Because that's the industry. And that's how I started. And then I realized, yeah, I fell in love with the craft and I learned everything what they're trying to say. And I even directed my own play while I was in school. And I am very grateful for this experience.
Yeah. Really.
I've had lots of stories to tell me, to tell you, but I want to know your first experience in directing department. So you know, we studied in different buildings.
Yeah, we did have different buildings. Funny enough, your building, the acting building, was on my way to school. And I remember the first day I was going, and I see everybody's going into that building and it says New York Film Academy, but my map says something else. And I'm like, am I wrong? Am I going to the right place? Like, I was so confused and I almost went to the acting building, but then I was like, okay, I'm going to go check. And then I have to run back. But anyway, yeah, we had different buildings. And I remember for me, the eye-opening experience was the actual educational system and the teachers, because it really blew my mind. Because I was like, the teachers can actually be interesting and nice and they actually genuinely interested in you and they actually care about you. Like, for me, was because in our education system, I know there is good teachers, good professors with a lot of life experience and things. But they just don't care about you. They just like, I don't know. I never had a teacher at my university who would be nice to me or like care about me. I don't know. Maybe it's my personal experience, but for me, it was like a huge difference, which for me, you know, finishing the university back in Ukraine was like, whatever. Just like I barely finished it. I said goodbye and never came back. And then finishing the New York Film Academy was honors, where I actually, like, I was in love. I was like in love with the process of learning, of doing things, of like getting the knowledge from all these people, the teachers who are like actually work in the industry. Right. It was just like, it was mind blowing for me. And I couldn't believe it because I remember, it's like when you have conversations with teachers and then they're like, oh, like, do you need help? I can stay after classes and help you. I can, like, you know, if you need help, just let me know. And I'm like, you're really going to do that? You're going to stay? Like, for me, it's like, why? Who am I? You know, it was insane. And, you know, basically directing and everything. I never really did that, and it was so scary for me because basically a director is the boss, right? Is the person who bossing around everybody else. And for me, this whole experience was about also kind of faking it, like, you know, faking the confidence. Because when you have a lot of people under your, like, management, basically, right? And you have to tell everybody what to do. And especially when you're a director and you have, like, I don't know, the camera department guys, like, big, strong guys who are like, okay, so what do you want us to do? And you're just like, in your mind, I'm like, I don't fucking know. I don't know. But I'm like, I want you to put that light, like, outside that window. And then he goes and I'm like trying to figure out what else like to do. Cause like, you know, it's scary. It's a scary experience. And, but I'm grateful for school. Again, we also had a very international class and, you know, everybody was kind of scared the same way as I was. So that was kind of easier for, you know, being in that atmosphere. And, again, I know that a lot of Americans, they didn't actually cope with the things at school. I don't know if you guys had the same problem, but like basically the school, it was 5 days a week and then every weekend we were shooting.
Yes.
Right? So we didn't have any weekends. And then the school was basically the whole day. It was 8 a.m., right? I think so, till like 7.
Because
like it was your whole day. And then you come, you do your homework and then you come back and then weekend you shoot. So basically we didn't have any like free time basically, which was...
We didn't have summer breaks.
Yeah, no summer breaks.
After every semester in this school, we had like 7 to 10 days
vacation. Yeah, I think so.
And then we come back for another semester. That's how it was.
Yeah. But like I was totally okay with that because like basically I came here, right? I didn't really know anybody. So I actually didn't really have anything else to do, right? Like really speaking. But I know a lot of Americans who had like families and stuff. They were like, what is this? Like, I want to live like this.
I never had a problem with the schedule. It was really busy. Like, till 10 p.m. we had classes. And then we rehearsed and memorized stuff on the weekends. It was never really a problem for me because, again, I came here to study. Yeah. But it did change my life because the person I came first time and the person I graduated and I am now, I think, are very different people. And I like that process because I think the worst advice you can give to a person mm-hmm. is stay the same. Mm-hmm. Person should never stay the same. Person should grow. And for me, it was painful, but it was a growth. I'm not sure where it's going to go eventually.
Okay.
Hopefully in a good places. But where I'm at now, I'm very grateful for everything what happened. And the school system in America definitely changed my perspective mm-hmm. to the whole educational world. Because here teachers, well, first of all, in our countries, teachers have to dress a certain way. It's all very formal. You have to, and everything. There's lots of formality and lots of like everything has to be by book here. Mm-hmm. And maybe because also we're in art school. That's true. Also matters.
It's also different. Yeah, because we didn't go to art schools. But I still feel like I know some people back home from art school and it's just like, it's not fun.
It's all by book there.
Yeah, they read books, they write things, but they never actually film things.
And what I like about the education system here in this film school, because it was very hands-on, we started shooting on the biggest studios in the world.
Yeah.
So imagine like back home, if I would go to film school, I would learn Soviet Union system, which is great. Tarkovsky and all those great directors back then, and they had the lots. Okay. But shooting on like in Universal Studios, Warner Brothers, like all those big places, and you actually worked every other week on those lots.
No, I remember they brought us the first time. They probably brought you guys there too. It was a Universal Studios back lot, and it was the lot where they shot. Like it was one tiny scene, no one had noticed it, but from Pirates of the Caribbean, where like Jack Sparrow is running. And it was like, what?
Yes.
It was mind blowing. It was just so crazy, like to be there. And I was like, they were standing here. They were like, right here, the energy, you know, and like you being able to film there.
Your stuff, your content, your films there. And remember when we were graduating, the thesis films were shown in Warner Brothers.
Yeah, in Warner Brothers.
So my thesis film was shown in Warner Brothers on a big screen. So it was a big deal for me, to be honest. And what I liked about the school, it was very, very tight schedule.
Mm-hmm.
It was very hands-on. We studied everything and everyone. Like literally, I learned how to write scripts, how to edit, Avid program, whatsoever the programs are there. Produce, pitch your project, and then act and like film, like sound, everything. Mm-hmm. Because it was so hands-on.
Yeah.
So I think, I'm not promoting this particular school. There are many, many film schools, but with this school, we just had an opportunity to just kind of dive into work process faster.
Yeah, because it's our experience. We're just sharing what we went through. And for me, it was just like mind-blowing, open mind, I don't know, change my world, Hogwarts thing. I don't know, maybe like I recently, first time for work stuff, I went to UCLA. Mm. And I saw UCLA campus and I'm like,
it's beautiful.
It's so pretty. And I'm like, wait, you can study here? You can like live in this atmosphere? And it's like, it seems so cool for me. And I was just like,
I always wanted to study abroad to like, to have this life, like in this movies, American movies about college. Cause they always have beautiful campuses.
Yeah.
But our school doesn't really
have campus.
No.
Yeah.
And when I saw USC and UCLA, I was like, I could have go here.
Yeah.
Seriously? And we already paid for this? But now I'm thinking, okay, yeah, it's fun. But it is what it is. Everybody ended up here in LA in the same industry. So who cares now? But still, I fell in love with this campus. I wanted to get my coffees in the morning in this campus and like interact and lay on this loan. Because I remember in our school, we didn't really have this campus thing.
Yeah, we don't have that thing too as well. But like, if you think about it, all our knowledge about the America, right? And American cultures comes from the movies.
That's true.
Right? That's like, that's all we saw. We saw it in the movies. And first in the movies, it's like, it's so cool.
I remember the first time I saw school bus here and it was on set. Yeah. I think the school bus was taking us to the sets. Yeah. And I remember me and this guy from South Africa, Misko, my classmate, we're taking pictures like, oh, American school bus, finally. And Americans, like my classmate, they're like, cuckoo.
Yeah,
like because it's just the bus.
Yeah,
and for us, it was a symbol of every teenage movie we grew up on. We were, like the Mean Girls and all that for us. It's the touch of this Hollywood. So our perspective was like we are touching the magic, something we dreamt about to see in real life. And for them, for my American classmates, it was everyday life, the way they grew up. So every time I was fascinated by something, they were laughing. Not like evil love, but they were like, oh my God, you're so cute. You're so cute that you're fascinated by these little things. So yeah, those things are great.
Yeah, even now I sometimes, like, you know, you run, you do things, you forget about something, and I catch myself sometimes when I'm driving, right? I'm driving past Hollywood or something, and I see the Hollywood sign, and I'm like, wait a second, I'm in Hollywood, mm-hmm. Los Angeles. I'm like, you forget about it, because, like, basically your life becomes just a regular thing, right? And you sometimes just forget where you are, because you have the same problems no matter where you are, right? In Kazakhstan, Ukraine, or Los Angeles, right? You have to, like, drive somewhere, you have to be somewhere, you have to do something, you have to make money, right? And then you just forget. But then at some point of time, you just raise your eyes and you're like, holy moly.
Holy moly. And, you know, I found this interesting thing. Now when I talk to my friends, even though they know my languages, mm-hmm. I'm literally telling you, this is the truth, guys. Mm-hmm. My English might not sound perfect, but we interact, even with people from my own country right now, in English, because it just sounds easier. Like, hey, what's up? Good morning. What happened? For me to transfer to my languages is going to take me a moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
That what happened to my brain in the 6 years.
Oh, absolutely. Because you learn things and you kind of express things in English, and then they imprint in your head in English, right? And then you just like, you don't even know how to
because
say it
for
in
me
your
now
language.
Now express myself in English became easier kind of on a daily basis, mm-hmm. than in my own language, even though I was a television host back home in another language. So imagine what's the drastic change on how your brain can work magical ways.
No, absolutely.
And the whole nature part and then the weather part, I got used to it so much, and I feel like everywhere I go and travel, and I try to travel a lot, it's the climate is just so good here.
It is a lot. I love the climate here. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. But I cannot stand that in one day you cannot have many meetings, because to get from one place to another, it's almost impossible. That's why I love New York. That they can just jump on a train in like 15 to 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and they make like few meetings a day. Here in LA, for example, we're doing
one
this
thing.
Right
you
now.
Can
there's
do
one
thing a day.
Maximum two, but then you're going to stay late. And you're stuck in traffic, so you better have a good playlist.
No, but it's actually crazy, because, again, I really miss, like, again, coming from Europe, right?
You everything
can
is
walk
close.
Everywhere. Yeah. You can walk. You can use public transport. Here, no. Just like there's no such thing as like walking or taking public transport.
I literally force myself to go to the beach or go somewhere where I can walk, because otherwise I'm not going to walk. I found myself, like, I think it was a few days ago, I have downstairs, I have like the supermarket and the bank, and I needed to go to both. It's like 5 minutes of walk, you know, and I was like, can we drive? I literally thought, can I drive there? Because I don't want to go under the rain or the wind. And it's not even that cold. I'm coming from like almost Siberia. But for me, it's cold. Yeah. You know. And everybody tells me, Nora, but you're from Kazakhstan. You shouldn't be cold. And I hate when people say that. Because there, I had a winter coat. And like everything was fur and everything was warm, at least. And I was prepared. Here, I'm not prepared. I see the sun, I go outside. And you know what I'm wearing now? I never, ever leave my home without a jacket. Because here during the day, you can burn. Yeah. And during the, I don't know, during the sunset, you can just freeze.
That's
freeze
crazy.
So much. That's just LA.
No, I wanted to ask one of the last questions, but like it's actually very interesting for me, because I also remember my impressions, like when there was the first time that you ended up in a big set here in Los Angeles. What were your feelings? What were your thoughts?
So I was lucky enough when I graduated from university, you know, I went home after New York Film Academy. I went home for a summer. I tried to kind of do auditions and get a job, but it was kind of slow. You have to live there. No, if you want to do acting, you just graduated from film school, you have to live in the place.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's because it's every day. Sometimes they send you auditions like the day before, you know, or a few hours before. So here, I came back. Mm-hmm. I got my work visa. I came back. And the first 2 months when I was back in LA, I started auditioning for this gig on CBS. Mm-hmm. It took me like a month of auditioning, at least 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I go there and I thought I'm going to do the last round of audition, but we actually were signing contract. And I walk inside and it was like CBS. It was a huge show. Uh-huh. And there was like a bunch of makeup artists, the hair people, producers, everything on time. You have like all these badges, like security. And they take me to for a fitting, right? And I don't even know what I'm going to do. Like, they're like, oh, okay, here we go. And they even provided me a bra and earrings, like everything.
Wow.
Like shoes. Oh, what shoes? It's like being a star for a moment where you have like a bunch of assistants and they're like, what size are you? This one. And they bring options.
Wow.
New ones. And then, oh, it, but it's now it's normal. Like, obviously yeah, it's normal. Okay. It should be normal. And
yeah, but like when you were there.
First time, like yeah. on CBS, you know, and it's like, wow. I was like, wow. It's me. And I was like taking pictures like, mama, look, I'm on CBS, you know, I'm doing all of this. And yeah. And I worked alongside with James Corden on the yeah. same stage. And I literally were like every time, hi, hugging each other. And I went to the same bathroom with Sofia Vergara and Drew Barrymore. Yeah. And literally we met with Sofia Vergara in the ladies' room. And she is so like cute and sexy. Oh. And she's just beautiful. She has this vibe. And I remember I'm walking in the bathroom and she just washed her hands and she has this like bright lips, red lipstick uh-huh. and her smile. Oh okay. my God. And she just smiles at me. She's like, hi. Like this. If I would be a man and I'm not a man, I was yeah. a girl. And I'm just like, oh my God, it's
Sofia Vergara.
It's wow. And the energy was insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, and I remember during my studies in acting, I had mm-hmm. a mentor, my teacher, he always told me, A-list actors overall want to work because they're stars. So mm-hmm. the stars, they want to work with the stars.
Yeah.
So fake it.
Mm-hmm.
If you act like a fan on yeah. set with these big dogs,
yeah.
they will never respect you. You got to be professional. You got to just okay. do your job. Never act like a fan. Never try to be like, I love you. You know, you yeah, can yeah, admire
yeah.
their work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, try to be on the same level. Fake it. You are professional as well. You're on the same yeah. set. You're working the same hours.
Okay.
And I remember that in my
not
mindset.
Not for same money though.
Obviously. Obviously.
Okay, but not
we'll
yet.
Get there. We'll yeah. get there.
Okay.
And when I was working with them, I remember Drew Barrymore kind of commented at me as well. She's like, uh-huh. Nora, this girl has such a swag. And I was like, yes, Drew, thank you. You know, I kind of tried to keep on the same level
yeah,
of
yeah, yeah.
energy. Because if I wouldn't fake, and trust me,
mm-hmm.
the show like was seen by millions and millions of people. Right? Yeah. And my knees were shaking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My English back then was I just, you know, graduated from,
yeah, yeah.
from university. So I was amazed. I was scared. But I faked it, the whole thing.
Okay.
I faked it. And they even invited me for post-production. And they invited mm-hmm. me for another show on Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And I appeared in like other news and stuff. But I faked the whole thing. I yeah. faked my confidence. Because faking it, it's not about pretending to mislead people.
Yeah.
It's about faking your confidence to be on the level where you will be treated like the one of... them.
Yeah, where you can actually speak on the same level with people and not being...
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, we're all humans.
Yeah.
We're all people. Somebody got further, somebody smarter, somebody not. And if we work hard on ourselves and hard in life and we have goals, I mean, we will get somewhere, right? Yeah, aim to the moon, you will end up in the stars kind of thing. But the word faking it,
yeah.
I was never really good in faking anything. I cannot lie. I'm really bad at lying. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
But I faked the professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
I was a professional, but I yeah. faked the confidence more, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
If I wouldn't fake the confidence and I would be like, oh my God, you are such a big star. Let me take a picture of you yeah. everywhere. No, that's just not professional. And
that's
I was
true.
Professional, on point. And then the people I worked with, they actually complimented me on my professionalism. They're yeah. like, no, you were just not a single emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I did cry when the whole thing After. Was over. There was, okay. yes, I literally did cry outside oh, of the God. Lot.
Yeah.
I did cry not once.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I remember my craziest experience was, and it's not even such a big thing, but I remember that my movie, my thesis film, it ended up being on one of the more or less big film festivals here in LA, right? It was Burbank Film Festival. It's like, it's all right, right? But for me, at that point of time, my movie at the mm-hmm. film festival. And they invited us to this beautiful award ceremony. And I was there, like, I bought the beautiful dress. And I was like, there was a red carpet, there was interviews, and I was there. And for me, that moment, it was like, again, like, I don't know. I was trying to fake it. I don't know if I could, but then I literally had to step outside for a moment and just cry and just like realize what is happening, because that was so insane for me in my mind. And like, I couldn't believe that I'm here at this moment. That's my movie. People are watching, appreciating, and like giving awards. I didn't win anything, but whatever, who cares? I was there, you know. It was such a great moment, and I would want to revive it again and again and again and again. Mm-hmm. It's just so cool. And I think it's important to stay true to yourself and not forget how magical these moments are, and how not to take everything for granted, and just, you know, keep doing things that fascinate you and learn something new every time. I think that's important.
Yeah. Well, finishing up this whole conversation about the film school and where our life took us later. Gosh, I just always tell people, be grateful, because every time I'm thinking, and trust me, it wasn't just the way up.
Yeah.
It was so many lows and downs, and there was so many emotions and tears and months or years without the gig or job.
Yeah.
It's just the part of this direction we chose, but it is what it is. I'm still grateful, and I would never met you if I wouldn't be in this film school, and the crazy way I came to LA, the other way you came to LA, it all connected us. I just want to say thank you for everyone who actually participated in this whole like transition of us, right? Our parents, ourselves, and just say everybody to be grateful for whatever you have, and just do your best. Just be professional, really. Be prepared. Do your best. Be on time. Do things right, and you'll see the outcome will definitely follow.
That's so cool. Thank you guys for watching Just Fake It, Coming to LA.
Thank you guys. See you next week.